Live from the Vortex Dome at LA Center Studio, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming.
With tonight's guest, music creator and creator of Mesmerica, James Hood.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars
are. Musical guest, Lon Onyx. I am Art Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master, the king, Filippo Montaggio.
I want to take myself and all of you who want to come with me back several years when my parents took us, their children, to SeaWorld in San Diego. And at SeaWorld, when I was a kid, there was a theater that we all piled into. This theater was, I think it was a theater in the round. And I remember there was this big pool of water in the middle of it, and we didn't know what was going on, but it was supposed to be the coolest thing ever. And it got dark and the show started, and it was a water show, basically, like we now see in Vegas and all kinds of other places. But at that time, as a kid, I had never seen it. And they had colors going and music going. And it in the dark, in that experience, I felt like I felt like a kid. I was a kid, but I was just, I would dream of and think about going back. And I think maybe I got to see it one more time. And then again, I would think like of all of was available at SeaWorld, that was the thing for me. And we went back, and then it was no more. And I don't remember the last time I felt like that from that show of being surrounded in a place all in the dark where I was with a group of people, but I felt like the water was talking to me. And then about a month ago, I saw Mesmerica. Oh, wow, I was back to being a kid at that show. And I've been thinking about it. I'm like, what is it? What is it? And we'll get to ask the creator of Mesmerica, what is it? But to me, I think it was something that I've not experienced before in a way that I've not experienced it. And the music and the sound and the colors and the lights and the, I could go on, but I want to make sure that we, that I get to talk to James Hood and ask him what happened to me. And thank you is what I really want to say. And so with that, we're going to be talking to James Hood, the creator of Mesmerica and so much more when we come back. And a little later on, live music with Blonde Onyx, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
So this is the Life Changes Show, and I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere. Mark, you know that feeling.
I have, speaking of feeling like a kid, I feel like one right now. There,
right?
I'm so excited for tonight's show, for what we're going to learn about who James is and the pioneering work he's done and is doing. But yeah, Mesmerica is the perfect combination of wow.
Well, actually, this is the perfect combination because we're actually in the Vortex Dome, LA, where so much of this started. James's story goes way back, but the elements that were added at the end that has made the show now what it is.
Absolutely.
Right here.
It's a tremendous collaboration, and we're so honored to be breaking ground. And James's music is so spectacular and matched with the visuals. There's nothing like it.
And the set's right here, actually, because the show is live at the Vortex Dome, as are we. And our guest is renowned as a vital and versatile music pioneer. And he has had a lengthy career, starting out with playing drums, and actually at this point playing drums again, but very different. And we'll talk about that. And he created Mesmerica. Welcome, James Hood, to the Life Changes Show.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to be here. And thank you for that feeling. Tell me, because I'm sure you've heard it before. What do people say about their experience at Mesmerica? I just want to start there.
Well, we see everyone at the end of the show because I want to see that they're okay to
their
leave.
Their faces.
That as well as just making sure they don't just get in the car and drive straight into the wall. Because
that's true.
It's an experience,
yeah.
But I think that it reconnects some people, some adults, with some of the mental qualities of being a child again. And it's like a nostalgia going back to where you let your mind play with dimensions or time in a complete fantasy way, which now, as you get older, is not really the thing you should be doing, as it's not, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But I think it's giving people permission to stay young in their minds, really. I mean, I read the other day that because I have a great belief that doing nothing is, because my version of constructive escapism is staring at the water or literally just sitting, not on the phone, but just doing nothing, like literally just being a human being rather than a human doing, just for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And they've now come out with a massive Harvard study saying that if you're 75 years old and you sit around doing nothing for 55 years old, 20 minutes a day, then you can have neural kind of activity of a 20-year-old. So I think that there's no science behind what I do. It's all intuitive, but I'm not surprised because I think that we just burn out if we think too much. I'm not sure we're supposed to think as much as we do. We didn't used to think. We used to just think about whether this is safe. No, saber-toothed tiger over there. Is this warm? No, it's cold. Let's go to somewhere warm. And that's where the cognitive thinking was, just to survive. Now we've got a whole, you know, we've got encyclopedias of how to think, you know.
Encyclopedias?
They're making you. Well, it's a different kind of thinking. In the show, in the introduction, I often say that I think that the most interesting, you know, they say that your brain is never working more than the moment you're born. Because of all, you know, you've been in a bag of water inside a warm body, and then suddenly you've got to deal with light, you've got to deal with breathing for the first time, you've got to deal with air, all this stuff. And I remind everyone that's in the show that before they became whatever they are, an Irish man or an Indian woman or an Iranian godmother or, whatever, they were something. Before culture taught them that they were Indian or Irish or Islamic or whatever, they were still something. Before they realized that I'm in Baghdad and I'm going to be a Muslim, or I'm in Charlottesville and I'm going to be a Christian, they were something. Mm. And before they learned to speak, they were just in a wordless awe of looking at everything. You know how you look at a baby and you're like, oh God, I wish I, you know, it's just like, I'm just getting no judgment, just presence, you know, just like this is the, you know, I mean, I don't know. I like looking at baby's eyes.
Before you became this, actually, when you were a kid, and you wanted to be something more than anything else.
Yeah.
What was that?
I wanted to be the drummer in the Spiders of Mars, or one of the drummers in the Glitter Band, which were. I don't think you know who Gary Glitter is, but he was just as big as David Bowie in the UK, and he had two drummers, and they both had sort of glittery silver kits, and I just wanted. Anyway, that was it for me,
rock and roll,
T-Rex, and so I became a drummer, and that was my first job. It was what I always thought I'd only do. Actually.
So you drummed with a lot of people and for a lot of people, and the Pretenders included, and then you had your own band, and a lot has happened in between those kinds of drums to the kinds of drums you're playing now.
Yeah, well, Yeah, I was lucky. I never got more rocky than the Pretenders, like, because that's as rock and roll as I want to go. You know, as soon as it gets to Motley Crue, I'm out. You know,
okay.
But Pretenders was actually, it's a girl, so it's a very feminine sort of take on rock and roll. Mm. And we weren't that heavy. It was actually much more like a garage band with really good short songs. There was nothing that, you know, no long guitar solos. Very little kind of that. She hated all of that. People used to, you know, she never used the bass player to go higher than the fifth fret. You know, like, and okay. And if you sort of got something, she'd say, "Hell, just save it for your solo album." You know, it's like you know, you were, but it was a great experience. But I've always made I've always been a sucker for melancholic music. Mm. And the ballads, and when I was a teenager, I used to have to pretend that I didn't like, you know, certain things that were just so cheesy that no one liked them, but I actually was really touched by them. And now I realize it was like a chord change or some beautiful, like, melodic, because I've got completely obsessed with that, composing music rather than sort of drumming,
you know? Well, actually, this is interesting, because this is reminding me your quote-unquote education in music, or not so.
I don't have any education in music.
Right.
I didn't want to learn how to read music. I didn't understand. None of the people that I watched on television were reading when they were playing the drums, and they were like, you know, sort of look. So I thought I was really uncool, and so I had to just teach myself, because the only way to do it, a drum teacher would make you learn, and then you have to go do it. You know, and all that, which right. is really good. And I tried to catch up a little bit later, because it's definitely rudiments, you know, and the fundaments of anything, it really help you out. You know, I mean, I haven't, you know, in some ways I haven't done myself any favors, because it's a long way to get to the same place that some people get straight away. But it's a much more magical journey, because I don't know any of the rules of music. So I have to just go with what I hear.
And you have a great ear.
Well, that's not for me to say, but I hear music in my head all the time. It's a certain type of insanity, I think. and then I'm in dreams. And then, you know, you have the year process of trying to get somewhere as good as it was in the dream. But you're never going to get anywhere near it.
Well, actually, let's go forward, because you said dream. Some of what one sees in Mesmerica could be interpreted as what some people see in a dream or on a trip, in a mind trip.
In a bus.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
On a all expenses paid round Europe bus trip. Yeah. Well,
well, we can't say it on a, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, look, I'm, I think that we have this incredible mind that we all have. I've never met a human being that doesn't have one, you know. And yet we spend our time trying to get it to be within the parameters of what we want to use it for. Mm. But we don't know nearly as much about whatever made the mind is knows more than we do. Mm. You know what I mean? And we have a mind that's probably more powerful than all the computers and all the servers on Earth right now. And we don't understand what consciousness, and science cannot help us there. Science can only do its empirical thing on the basis that consciousness doesn't exist, which obviously we know. And the other thing about science is all talking about repeatable, anything that can be repeatable
right.
can be true to be true. I mean, how many experiences right. in your life have been repeated?
Right. Right. So, never thought of it that way.
It's like, why is science is so terrified of the unknown? Personally, that makes me really feel safe. I don't know. Haven't got a clue. Even if you told me, my brain wouldn't have the cognitive power to understand your answer. So it frees me. I don't have to be thinking about the meaning of life. It's clearly above my pay grade. Who the hell thinks that I'm owed an explanation of why we're here and what it all means? But at the same time, look what, you know, it's like a playground for whatever you want to do. And that makes sense to me.
You know, interestingly enough, this is what you say at the beginning of the shows, and you say let your mind do what it does or something. We'll talk more about that, but it certainly was this freeing experience, and to be comfortable allowing people to have their own experience at one of your shows, it means you have to have had a major growth on the way there. So we'll talk about that when we come back with James Hood. And if you want to right away go look, you can go to jameshood.com and see about Mesmerica, and you could see it live here at Vortex Dome LA, and it's also playing in other places.
We'll talk about changes,
that. A lot of other places. And then later on, we're going to have our musical guest, Blonde Onyx, all on the Life Changes show here when we come back after this.
Hey guys, so I'm here to tell you about a little thing called the DNA Institute. You probably haven't heard of it yet, but I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was about 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and unfortunately, I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute made me lose 30 pounds. This is not a lie. That completely happened. It doesn't matter what exactly your situation is or how much you have to lose. The Institute will get you to your goal weight. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a real doctor-prescribed custom medical treatment. It rebalances your hormones, heals your metabolic and digestive system, and makes your higher functioning brain so loud that it becomes impossible to overeat when you're full. Whew, it's a mouthful, but yours won't be. So many of my friends and family turned to the DNA Institute after they saw my success, and all of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I promise you, this is different than anything you've ever tried before. They've been in Beverly Hills since 1982. You can even give them a visit, drop by, or just head to their website, DNA.com, that's DIENNET.com, to learn more and get your customized formula made today.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course our guest, James Hood, who, among other things, is a musical pioneer and is the creator of Mesmerica. First of all, Mesmerica, where does that name come from?
Well, I thought I made it up, but I didn't, because it's someone else thought of it first. I think it's in Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. Some journalist said, "Is that the Mesmerica? Have you taken it from Aldous Huxley?" It may not, or maybe it's something like that. Why I did it is mesmerism is the original word for hypnotism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a much better word. I don't like the word hypnotism because it's just riddled with misunderstandings and it's just wrongness now. It's just a dead word as far as I'm concerned. But to be mesmerized, people understand what that is. If you've ever, you know, sat with a bunch of people watching a sunset, you after a while, conversation just stops. And there's nothing that's necessary. And if anyone does anything, they do it quietly because they're in the presence of something that no one has to discuss is transcendent. And it's to be mesmerized, I think, at its most basic form is to lose track of time and to enjoy yourself so much that you fall out of the TikTok of time, which you obviously don't do if you're doing something you don't enjoy. In fact, time does the opposite. It becomes twice as
longer.
You know?
Yeah.
So obviously time is somewhat subjective to our experience.
And people
and
have
America, obviously. So, I mean, I am not American. I will be American when my son becomes 21. It's going to be one of the proudest days of my life. But for now, I am a British guy who's lived in America for nearly 20 years now. And but it is this is where I do business, and Mesmerica seemed like it's reaching for something that it's a good word, I think, because it is, I think that people can get a sense a little bit of what it might be going for, or it's intriguing. So that's a good title for anything, is if it intrigues or somewhat does what it says on the tin.
People are obviously getting something. All the shows are sold out, whether you're, no offense, but whether you're doing it live
and you've just strolled out, I think, in your 11th city, right, in the recorded format, and you're playing live here at LA Vortex Dome LA.
Incredible. I know.
I had a short list, actually, not to interrupt you, but Salt Lake City, Nashville, Dayton, Ohio, Oakland, California, Calgary.
And for those that don't know, these are planetarium theaters that are able to receive the show in its full format.
But there, you see, I think I have I get a sense of awe and wonder when I walk into here. I love this place.
Yes.
But when you walk into a planetarium, I mean, it takes your breath away because it's almost like going into a miniature sort of version of the night sky universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got this huge dome, much higher than this dome.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like you're in a sacred place. I love the energy, even in an empty planetarium. It seems to be like, because it's there for your mind, you know, for the part of your mind that doesn't want to be kind of defined and kept in a box.
When you were talking about the sunset, you reminded me of a sense of spirituality that you subscribe to, that it comes from within you. Nobody has to tell you how to feel at that moment.
Right, right.
And how did you come to that kind of a feeling?
By a lot of disappointments in my spiritual search. I remember I started on about Christmas Day, and I grew up with a church in the garden of where I lived.
As a matter of fact, you were born in the hospital where
Princess
Diana.
But I remember it was Christmas Day, and I didn't want to do anything Christian, but I did feel like I wanted a transcendent experience. And I remember just walking around the garden and sort of feeling and almost imagining sort of energy spots that I didn't even know what they were. And it wasn't that they were there. It was that I decided they were there.
Mm.
And I had an experience just of myself. And it was my favorite word, which I taught you before. It was numinous,
yes.
which is finding essentially transcendence without trying to define it by being from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And add on 20 years of sitting at the feet of a lot of people and telling me and asking them, numerous could see that I had something, and I was the protege of two spiritual teachers, but they never were able to show me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Really, show me now why I should follow you. But if you in a very, very responsible way, with lots of good planning, expose yourself to any plant medicine, it'll show you straight away. You're not going to be like, well, show me. You're going to be like, stop showing me. Mm. I've seen enough.
Mm.
I get it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So I think that my early life was trying to find something that was never there. And then I started realizing that I was looking for something that was already inside me, and I was looking for trying to get it from the outside,
nice,
like a light to bask in.
Mm.
But actually, and that's what I'm trying to give people, is what I've always wanted, which is an experience of transcendence without me telling you what it is or what to think.
Mm.
And that all of us are capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly not me creating the transcendence. Far from it. Everybody who comes into these shows has their own subjective experience. Their transcendence belongs to them. And I have not had anything to do with it except for possibly some informed guesswork as to the alchemy of some of the melodies, some of the tone of the music with the program on the screens, that it might just make them go, wow, you know? Wow, life is beautiful. And my eyes can see that color. Wow. You don't have to go too much complicated, that I'm breathing this breath right now, and I'm able to see 8D, and I can almost imagine it being 16D, and that's coming out of my mind that nobody gave me. I came pre-installed with this mind.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first 2 years of my life, nobody told me what to think until I learned language. And I had to then, and that all starts to, I mean, I'm not, nothing against language, but I like, that's why I don't make vocal music. To me, you know, there's so
that's
much.
Right. If interesting
you,
point.
If you don't, if you, I mean, if you don't define it with the melody, then that's, everybody else can make their own melody. And that's a little bit what I think I'm doing with the show, is that so much of the enthusiasm of the show is coming from people realizing that it's not that hard to be happy, as long as you're not looking for everything outside of yourself. If you sit down and think, wow, I've got a mind that is just amazing, that that's made a decision that I'm going to learn Italian, and I did it in 6 months, and then I made a decision I'm going to lose 200 pounds, and I did it, or I failed, but then I did it, and then I did, you know, or you work with what you've got and spend less time trying to join organizations that are going to tell you what to think about your experiences. That's what I found. That's really the combination. It's like, I do not think I tell anybody. And there's certainly, and I explain, there's no narrative in this show. You know, there's nothing to hold on to. Mm. Like, you're just being pushed gently out into a pool of your own awareness. And most people find that's pleasant, surprisingly.
You have a quote that I love where you talk about how all our lives we're guided to think, right? We're taught how to think, and yet you think that not thinking is very powerful. And I've always loved that quote because I think it's so true.
Well, I mean, you know, all the people that I presumably everyone here is vaguely interested in spirituality. We're all going for the people who, that's what they do. They could sit still for 24 days without thinking. Then we want to go and see what they've got. How the hell do you do that? So flushing the mind, it's not that, well, it is hard to do, actually.
Actually, it's a shortcut.
It's a shortcut.
Ms. Merrick is a shortcut. Yeah. That's how you do it.
But isn't it frightening how difficult it is not to think? It's like, that's what school did. School has completely and actually, it formed our brains to make money for the nation.
We're rewarded for the more we think, which is exactly. The exact
opposite. And the more we think logically. Mm. Well, that's okay to think logically, but to think illogically is not respected at all. Mm. But I think that's thinking logically how we get great new ideas, and this is how we get fantastic, impossible, crazy films, is the people who think illogically. But thinking itself, and then, of course, you know, Descartes. I mean, what a load of nonsense. I think, therefore I am. You're not anything because you think. You are whatever you are.
We shifted that to I change, therefore I am.
Yes. Or I am, therefore,
therefore I am.
Right. But the thinking part, it makes no sense to me. That I can see through my eyes, therefore I am. And how does that happen? Science tells us that that's actually an illusion, that it's all happening inside us, that our mind is basically seeing a screen, it's seeing the curve of the screen, it's seeing the turquoise on the screen, it's seeing your head sort of in 3D in front of it. But it seems like it's all, you seem out there to me, mm-hmm. and you are, because if I could reach over and touch you, you are there. Mm-hmm. So science doesn't even really understand that. Whenever it comes to consciousness, which we are in 24/7, and even less we're asleep, when we're conscious in another way, and yet science hasn't got a clue how to. I mean, they call it some electrical. I mean, the electricity is that end. As soon as you hear a scientist say electricity, you know that he is reaching for something. Because, and what is electricity?
Mark, can we say that James Hood is passionate?
Yes, we
and
can.
And enlivened. And you put this in the show. It's interesting how people feel, well, actually, even more so, that when I went to see the show, there were kids, there were older people, there were people, all kinds of different people. I saw people in suits, like business people, and people dressed very casually, sports clothes. We all sat there for what seemed like 5-10 minutes, but obviously an hour, experiencing, in a sense, ourselves, but also collectively.
Well, that's why I like this experience more than VR, although VR is because you are experiencing it in, you know, and I say, you know, there's never been, the old cliche about this has never happened before. I may have done lots of shows, but I've never done the shows with this different, interesting sort of collusion of people, you know, and Yeah, I mean, I can't remember what question it was, but
how we all experienced ourselves, and yet it was done as a group.
Yeah, well, I think that you know, it is a subjective experience, and there's and you're not going to scream at the same time. You know, I mean, I have a.
I didn't hear anybody screaming.
No. What I mean is that
some tears, maybe.
Yeah, but even those won't come at the same time.
Right.
I mean, there's no moment of the show that I think, well, that's the really sad bit. You know, it's more because that red reminds them of their grandmother's car,
yes,
and that dog Poochie, and Poochie got run over, and then we move to Minnesota. Then you start crying.
And we're also in a space
Nothing
where we're more.
Minnesota, I would cry.
I had an experience being able to watch the crowd at one of your shows, and in series there was a couple of children, maybe 8-9 years old, that were dancing towards the end. And as I panned over, there was a woman in the second row that had tears running down her face. And then I talked to the wife of another patron whose father had just passed away, and she felt like she was able to revisit him or commune with him during some of those scenes. So, you know, of all ages, it was impactful.
So that's what I mean, is subjectivity of someone who's experiencing bereavement, you know, so everything spoke to their feeling. And that's the thing, is it all goes through your funnel of whatever you're prepared to let through, I suppose.
Right. This is mesmerizing, even the conversation and the passion behind it. I'm looking forward to seeing it again and again, actually. And I'm actually wondering about other shows. So we'll get to talk to James Hood more when we come back. And then we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment in our next segment. And then we're going to have Blonde Onyx join us with some live music here on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, James Hood. You could go to jameshood.com, jameshood, HOOD.com, to learn about Mesmerica. And you can see it here live with James Hood playing the steel drums at the Vortex Dome, L.A. But you could also see it, go to the website and see where else it's playing throughout America. You could see it. People are experiencing some of the same things, actually. Again, no offense, but whether you're there or not, it speaks for itself. The experience speaks for itself.
Yes. Well, when I originally devised this show, I did say that the last thing we should do is have a live version of it, because the whole point was to not have any distractions so they could really go inside themselves. But that didn't work out. But
It's special to have you there. Actually, I started to say I'm actually looking forward to seeing it again, and I am, even though I know it's going to be the same one. I know I'm going to feel differently and see things differently, but I'm curious, is there going to be a Mez England and a Mez Africa? And
No, next year we have got one coming out that's going to be very different, and it's not a James Hood product. I'm also part of a band called Mood Swings. Mm-hmm. Who we were really cool back in the day.
You number one, like in world and new age charts?
No, that's my first. That's the first James Hood record. When I used to live in England, I was in a sort of psychedelic electronic band called Mood Swings, and we had some success. And my dear friend Grant Showbiz and me are Mood Swings. And anyway, we are making an immersive experience called Critical Mass for which will be ready for spring of next year, and it's It couldn't be more different from Mesmerica, because it's more the manifestation of energy into action. So this is next year is a pretty I don't know how many conservative areas this place goes out to, but I'm pretty terrified at what's going on some level politically at the moment. But at the same time, I also think it's just sort of it's a messy sort of transition to something that's more representative of who we are. But a critical mass is basically something has got to get people off the fence, and we've got to stand up and say what kind of world we want to live in. And in Europe, where obviously I spend a lot of time, there is the extinction all of that is really, really becoming a political issue. And in a lot of ways, America leads Europe, and some ways Europe leads America. Mm. And the young people of this world standing up and saying, we don't care what you think anymore. It's clear global warming is not now, it's not a political issue. It's an actual scientific fact. So this is going to be much more a call into action, and it's basically music that I've created that is basically, it's supposed to be the soundtrack for, as I say, the transmutation of this wonderful energy, this wonderful flowering of human consciousness. But it's got to come down into action now. We've got to stand and fall. Do we want our banks to carry on lending us money and then holding us over? Do we want to basically live in a world where we're constantly succeeding at someone else's expense? Does this feel good to everybody? Because I don't think it does. I think it's just the political sort of class. It's what they're used to doing, is grabbing as much as they can and leaving us until someone says, hey, that's not fair. Well, I tell you, the critical mass is all about how many voices shouting, hey, that's not fair, does it take to change the world? Because now we have the internet, we don't really have nations. So I'm going to posit that 500 million people out of 7.5 billion what is it? It's the tipping point. It's a scientific it's a chemical reaction, the tipping point where something just splits into something else. The Berlin Wall, what was that? That was about 5,000 people who didn't care whether they got shot. And then suddenly the 50,000 who were too scared to go in the street, they see the 5,000, they go, well, maybe we should. Then suddenly there's 75,000, you can't shoot 75,000 people. And suddenly that's what I'm talking about. That's what this world has. We have to have that, else we're all screwed, frankly.
And that's going to be called Critical Mass.
Critical Mass.
And it's coming out when?
Spring 2020.
Wow. Okay.
Guaranteed to blow your mind, and also give you, I think, some kind of a way to help, to because getting political is it's got to become much more of a community action. Small communities saying no, this is no longer fair. This is actually now an insult to our intelligence as human beings. We don't want to live in these systems anymore. We want to share with people who haven't got it. We don't want to, all the stuff that they call socialism. But, of course, it's not really. And I'm not really political at all.
Well, ironically, you said a community is saying no. And we've titled the show, Yes, Being Happy. So technically, the other way of looking at that is saying, yes, this is what we want. Or this is the world we want to have.
And I do
believe we want to be happy in this way.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of what we're dealing with is hundreds and hundreds of years of people not being happy, building walls, making sure that I've got enough before I share it with you. This all comes from a feeling of lack. That doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good at all. I think that 500 years of unhappiness created a lot of what's wrong with this world.
So going back to being happy, people at Mesmerica get to experience those moments of their own personal
happiness for themselves. Much more, it comes from inside them because of some outside things, but nothing that says there's no information that's imparted at all. So it's got to have come from them.
So whether it's this show or the next show or actually CDs available also, you could go to jameshood.com. James, this has been an absolute pleasure, especially after having gotten to experience the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the experience.
Oh, well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Come again.
Look forward to more.
Even better
absolutely.
The third time.
So thank you, James Hood. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Hi, Dorothy. This is Barbara from Tarzana. And I want to know why eating things that are not healthy make me feel so good in the moment I'm consuming them. Food is so much a part of my daily life experience. It can produce such intense pleasure and then make me feel exhausted and angry with myself for having consumed something I know is not good for me. Why is it so easy for some people to get lost in their experience of sugar that we forget how important it is to avoid processed foods and eat foods that don't produce such pleasure? I am obese, and I don't know why I continue to do this to myself.
Great question, Barbara. Thanks for asking. People often look to food for comfort, and it is usually because they are seeking something to fill a void. When we eat things that are not good for us, we are often using the food to numb ourselves out, just as some people look to drugs and or alcohol to avoid looking for the root cause of their unhappiness. And then the aftermath is exactly what you expected all along. Feelings of defeat, disgust, anguish, and all of the negative emotions come to play. This is all because the void has not been filled, because the true issues have not been dealt with. Louise Hay states in her amazing book, You Can Heal Your Life, that the probable cause for overweight is fear and the need for protection, running away from feelings, insecurity, self-rejection, seeking fulfillment. Barbara, please examine your feelings and shine the light on whatever it is you are pushing down, as it is definitely not the food or flavor you seek. In truth, you're seeking comfort, and you will never find it in food. Once you have discovered what the root problem is, please meditate on it and surrender to being at peace with your own feelings. You can affirm that you love and approve of yourself, as loving oneself is the thing that we all need in order to help us make more elegant choices. Knowing that the pleasure is only momentary, let's think before you eat things that are not healthy choices. Let's not let any negative thinking or feelings sabotage your life. Take control of how you treat yourself. Think of the aftermath and how yucky you're going to feel after you eat something unhealthy. It would be good for you to answer this question. How are you going to get anything positive out of life if you don't treat yourself right and take care of your body and your health? Barbara, I trust that you will make the best choices from now on, as you are asking the right questions now.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be back here on the Life Changes Show with Blonde Onyx right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The
Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, James Hood, and of course, our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue. And joining us here at the Vortex Dome LA is Blonde Onyx. He is a multi-instrumentalist, electronic music singer, producer. Actually, you're a dancer, too. We'll talk about that in a minute.
I sure am.
Welcome, Blonde Onyx, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I don't think I could be more excited to be here or set up for success based on everything you've been talking about. It's immediate, like, this is exactly what I'm doing with my life. So I'm so grateful for you.
I've been seeing your head nod and your hands shake, your body's like, yes, like, yeah, you'll go.
Preach, children. Y'all speaking the languages. I got you. And you're setting me up for the most perfect intro to exactly what I'm ready to offer you guys.
Well, actually, I know you're not going to offer this, but I have to ask you.
Yeah.
You're a professional dancer, too.
Correct.
And are you going to be, because you just were cast in a cool musical that we'll talk about in a minute. But
yeah.
Are you going to be dancing in that too?
Yes, absolutely.
Singing, dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell us about this musical, because this sounds like something that's probably never been done before either.
It has not. We are actually still in rehearsals for it, so we're figuring it out. But it's called The Wild Party. And so similarly to what James was creating with this thing that hasn't been done yet, we're creating an immersive experience. So it's actually called The Wild Party, and we are throwing a wild party that you can come to and attend to experience as an immersive experience, that it's all the dancing and singing is happening around you.
Wow.
And the beauty of it all is that it's touchy subject matter. I will be very clear with you that, you know, by signing up for this experience and you're immersing yourself in this world that is being created around you that is challenging, because the subject matter is sexual abuse, domestic abuse, violence. So by signing up as a cast member, I'm interjecting myself into this world and being like, wow, I'm creating this. And with consent, the beauty of signing up for this as somebody who has survived all of those things is that the proceeds are going to charities that benefit the actual survivors of this domestic abuse, violence, that the subject matter is. So this talk about being the change, you know, showing up and doing the things, this is me signing up for the thing that is incredibly challenging to me, confronting it, owning it, and experiencing it myself so that you as the audience member don't have to experience it directly, but get to have the experience without being the one doing the thing, with all the benefits actually going to the people who had the experience.
Wow. Well, I know you're actually so new to this that you're creating a website and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But so people can go to your social media
or my website
and find out about that,
absolutely,
right? And your website being blondeonyx.com.
Yeah, which is, you know, blonde, B-L-O-N-D-E, and then onyx, O-N-Y-X.com. And all of my social medias are at blondeonyxmusic. So Facebook, Instagram, you know, follow me, like me. I'll be posting updates, cast photos, all the experience that you'll need for that. You'll also get the updates on, I'm about to release a single, which I will be playing for you second. So you'll be first in line when that single drops. You're going to hear a sneak peek of what that's actually going to sound like.
As a matter of fact, you gave us a video that, that hadn't been released. That
correct.
Was released.
I uploaded it this morning so that you could see it. As a teaser, and that will be the first song that I play is actually going to be the acoustic version of, I uploaded the electronic version of the same song. So you're going to get to see, hey, I said I'm a multi-instrumentalist. I'm going to show you the real version of me playing the thing, and it's recorded online for you to watch the electronic version of me doing the thing. So you, I'm up. That's a sneak peek just for you that I uploaded this morning at your request.
Well, let's do it then. Here is Blonde Onyx performing Vision.
Right. So speaking of, you know, the soundtrack, James wrote the soundtrack for the new Paradigm. This is the anthem he was talking about. And so although he didn't write this song, this is exactly what he was saying. Is this right here, ladies and gentlemen, as the call to action for transformation in the political sphere, here's your anthem. So this is what's going to be, you know, blaring on the sound system as we all stand together and raise our voices. Are you ready for it?
Well, this, just to be clear, this isn't in James's show, but you're saying
this is my song.
Both speaking the same language.
That's why I'm sitting here in this conversation, listening, going, you could not have set up a better intro for what I'm ready to offer you, which is, you know, these songs.
Well,
and this
here
my
it
heart.
Is. Here's Vision, Blonde Onyx, live from Vortex Dome, LA, on the Life Changes Show.
Now's the time to use our voice. Stand up together and make a choice. We've always been told, be the change. Well, I am, at least I'm on my way. New vision of life, vision of love, vision of a unity for you and me. Oh, 'cause now I know this moment is our gateway to the everything. Yes, now I know this moment is our gateway to the everything. 'Cause separate equal is just another level. The truth is that we're not separate at all. Collective respect is the way we choose to be. We got compassion, love, and care for all humanity. A vision of life, vision of love, vision of community for the whole world to see. Whoa, 'cause now we know this moment is our gateway to the everything. Yes, now we know this moment is, oh, it is our gateway to the everything. 'Cause now's the time to use our voice. Stand up together and make the choice. We've always been told to be the change. Well, we are, at least we're on our way. A vision of life, vision of love, vision of community for the whole world to be. 'Cause now we know this moment is our gateway to the everything, and we know it's now. Thank you.
Nice. Blonde Onyx. I should mention, on Instagram and Facebook, you're Blonde Onyx Music.
Correct.
But the website.
Because I also do photography. I'm a dancer, so I have sites and all of that. But if you go to blondeonyx.com, that'll be your portal into my world, where you'll then have all the links to the different things that I do. I'm also a fashion designer, clothing designer. I have a clothing line coming out. Like, I'm a videographer, a photographer. I do all the stuff. I function as all the things. You can hire me for whatever you want. And I also make music and perform. So this is just me getting to do one thing that I love to do and have this be my only job for the moment.
Well, instead of multi-instrumentalist, we should have said multi-everything.
And, you know, composer, producer. I basically needed to learn all the things so that when I get in the position of being able to communicate with the people, I know how to do all the jobs, but I don't have to do all the jobs. I just get to do what I'm really good at.
Well, you have created Blonde Onyx. It
Correct.
Says here, to inspire, uplift, move. Like, what is this persona?
Wow. What is this persona? Well, to me, my mission statement in life is to inspire as I've been inspired. Hmm. So, you know, because inspire means in spirit. So to instill in spirit in everybody just by witnessing me being in spirit and inspired. And so that's a common reflection that I get back for being myself is you inspire me to be more of who I can be just by being you. And so that's the greatest feedback that I can possibly receive. And one of the highest compliments is thank you for being you because it lets me be more of you. Give me permission to be more of me, which is inspiring them to be the best version of themselves, which is all that I hope for the world.
When you're your authentic self.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's freedom.
And you obviously like the world, the word change.
I love change. And there's a better word than that.
And you've got a song that you're about to do that. Yes. We're going to get to hear the electronica part.
Correct.
And the song that you're about to do is called Change the World. So yes. What's the better word that you have found for yourself
so
that works for you?
I'm a master of change. And my lesson in the last 24 hours that I now get to share with you is if I ask you to change, that's going to imply that something's wrong with you. And that if you change direction, you can always go back. So the better distinction that I can give you in languaging that's more empowering is rather than asking you to change, transform. Transformation happens, and that's a permanent thing that's happening now in the moment. That's a permanent evolution in the quality of your being that's not in the future or asking you to be different. It's inviting you into the possibility that if I transform myself, the world can transform around me. It doesn't have to change. I'm not asking you to change. I'm transforming, and therefore that gives permission to the world to transform with me. So the lyric will be change the world, and then notice the change in the middle of the song. I'll get to we can transform the world. So it'll be change and transform all in one, and we're going to do it live in front of you next.
Well, besides obviously the music, no wonder Mazin was saying, you have to have my friend Blonde Onyx on the show.
That's a high compliment.
So thank you, Mazin. Yeah.
Thanks, Mazin, and Ame for also recommending.
And Ame,
you will hear
right.
Ame's voice on here with me. She wished she could be here, and so in honoring her, you will hear her voice on this track because she and I co-wrote this together as we are changing the world together. So Ame Love featuring Ame Love, Blonde Onyx featuring Ame Love, and you will be able to hear this song as it's released in the next month. So this is also a sneak peek of something that hasn't gotten out yet.
Well,
this is just for
peeks.
You.
So
just
here's
for you guys, sneak peek.
Blonde Onyx performing Change the World.
Which will also be Transform the World, baby, because life changes. And life transforms.
Live on the Life Changes Show, here's from Vortex Dome LA. Yeah.
Yeah. Think about all the things you mean to me. Whoa, oh yeah. Well, my heart is beating for you, and I feel you in everything. Whoa, oh yes. 'Cause you're all I think about, inspiring me all the time. Whoa, oh yeah, I'm setting my standards high, 'cause it's time to redefine what's mine, yes.
This is my year, this is my time, this is my
life. This is our life.
There's no more time to waste, I wanna do this right.
We're gonna do this right. You right by my side.
All I needed was to decide.
'Cause all we needed was to decide that I can change the world. 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 I can change, I can change. We gonna do it, we gonna do it. We're gonna do it right this time. We're gonna do it, we got to do it. We gonna do it right big time. We're gonna do it, we gotta do it. Cause now's the time.
We work together, building our community.
Oh, well, we are embodied light. Cause we have the power, we are the change. We know what's right, we know what's right. With each and every smile. Cause this is our moment, our new vision, our time to shine. We are connected, we're love reflected. We are ready to climb. Collectively conspiring to elevate our minds, yeah, to the highest dimensions. In that we seek, so shall we find. The challenge is real, the future is here. Now is the time, yes, cause we're no longer struggling. We're finally ready to decide. We can transform the world. 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 Oh yeah. We gonna do it, we got to do it. We gonna do it right this time. Now's the time. Big time, oh, you know this time we're gonna do it right, yeah, yes.
Blonde Onyx.
Featuring
Thank
Amay Love.
So much.
Thank you.
What a
Thank
pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
BlondeOnyx.com, yeah. Where you can learn more about him. What
and a pleasure. You made reference to the fact that I'm a dancer, and I would like to just point out, you know, that would be quintessential Wonder Nasty at Wonder Nasty on Instagram if you want to follow my dancing, which is, you can also get on my social media. I post some of that too.
Okay. And so with that, thank you, Blonde Onyx.
Thank
and
you so much.
A big thank you to James Hood, our guest. Wow, what a show this has been. We couldn't do it without so many people, and a couple of people that we want to thank are Kaylin Holmes, our production engineer, and Christian Meals, our director of photography. And with that, on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that when your life changes like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.